What are the factors influencing wage and salary administration? Now, every country or say every board or every committee would like to, you know, pay their workers wherein they can live very happily and can have a better standard of living. But then there are definitely few factors which are affecting while determination of such wage system. When we talk about external factors, they are demand and supply. The labor market conditions or demand and supply forces operate at the national and local levels and determining organizational wage structure. Now, say for example, in a country, there are less number of required, we take an example that 100 laborers are required to perform certain kind of work. But then in that particular country, there are only 80 to 90 laborers. So there is a shortfall of 10 laborers. So in this situation, you know, the wages offered will be higher to attract that labor into any industry. But it becomes exactly opposite when, you know, you have more number of workers than you require. So we are, or the employer are at the position wherein, you know, the employer is at a powerful position. And where he is to decide how much he wants to pay. So somewhere the demand and supply of labor, not only on national level, but when we take it regional level, say for example, in that particular region, the situation may be applicable to certain region. So there also demand and supply of labor will be considered while deciding the wage. When the demand of a particular type of labor is more and supply is less, then the wages will be more. On the other hand, if supply of labor is more and demand on the other hand is less, the person will be available at a lower wage rate. Cost of living, that is the increase in the prices of goods and services. So the wage rates are directly influenced by cost of living of a place. The worker will accept a wage which may ensure them a minimum standard of living. So, say if we want to satisfy an employer worker, at least we should be in a position to offer a wage or a wage rate which at least satisfy the basic standards required by an employee. Because below that, if you are anyways paying a wage, the employee or the worker will not be satisfied. So, we ensure that whenever we are making a wage rate or fixation of wage rate, we do consider the cost of living. Wages will also be adjusted according to price index numbers. The increase in the price index will erode the purchasing power of workers and they will demand higher wages. So when there is a substantial increase in the price index, what happens? The prices of the products increase. So at the given wage rate, their purchasing power reduces. Say for example, a employee was paid 100 rupees earlier, but at the same time in this 100 rupees, he was able to purchase say 5 kg of sugars. But now since the sugar prices have increased, he is only able to purchase 4 kg. So a shortfall of 1 kg sugar. So for this buying of 1 kg sugar extra, he will require extra wages. So there will be conflict and disputes arising. When the prices are stable, then frequent wage increases may not be undertaken. Now, when this price index are stable in any nation or country, so these revisions may happen, not that frequently, which is happening due to unstable price index in any country. The trade union's bargaining power. The wage rates are also influenced by the bargaining power of trade unions. Now see, some trade unions are very strong because the number of members in the trade unions are large. So in this situation, and you have some good representatives in your trade union who are very good at their bargaining skills. So such type of unions will be in a better position to bargain and achieve at a common agreement and convince their employer to pay or revise the wages. Stronger the trade union, higher will be the wage rates. The strength of a trade union is judged by its memberships, that is number of workers in the trade union, member of that particular trade union, financial position and type of leadership. Union's last weapon is strike, which may also be used for getting wage increases. So ultimately, when the trade union fails to bargain on revision of wages or increase in wages, the ultimate weapon they use is they go on strike, which will affect the production of that particular industry. If the workers are disorganized and disunited, then employers will be successful in offering low wages. So this is exactly the opposite what we discussed about a strong trade union. So if the trade union is not strong due to whatsoever reason. Now in some industries there is multiplicity of trade union. That means in one industry itself there are 2 to 3 trade unions. And this 2 to 3 trade unions, they are fighting among themselves only. So they are not at a stronger point. They are not united. And definitely the employer or the management will take advantage. And the workers have to accept whatever is being offered by the employer. And they will definitely, you know, provide or offer a minimum wage. Then the one most important factor is government legislation. How many laws or, you know, the policies are being framed to protect the workers from getting exploited and getting low wage. To improve the working conditions of the worker, government may pass a legislation for fixing up minimum wages for workers. This may ensure them a minimum level of living. So at least when in a country wherein you have laws enacted to payment of minimum wage rate, at least the employee is secured or is getting that much of money that he can take care of his and his family and fulfill the basic needs. In underdeveloped countries, bargaining power of labor is weak. And employers try to exploit workers by paying them low wages. Because in underdeveloped countries, there are less number of industries and more number of laborers, of course. So what happens is the powerful position is the industrialist, and they will try to exploit the labor by paying them less. In India, Minimum Wage Act 1948 was passed to empower government to fix minimum wage for the workers. Psychological and social factors. So over and above the external factors that we have discussed, psychological and social factor plays a major role. That means the limit that is being set, you know, psychologically by a worker, that if I am being paid amount X, I am happy. If I am being paid amount Y, I am not happy. That psychological trend of a particular worker in an industry. Psychological, the level of compensation is perceived as a measure of success in life. So say for example, I have perceived that if I earn X number of money in a given time frame, then I am successful. If I am not able to earn that much money in a given time frame, I am unsuccessful. So this perceived power of money and relating to that to the success in the mind of worker also decides whether the wage which is being offered is being accepted by the employee or not. Maybe an employee is able to fulfill his basic needs by the given wage rate, but psychologically he is not still satisfied. So in future they may go on strike to have a revised wage structure. Management should take into consideration the psychological needs of the employees while fixing the wage rates so that the employees take pride in their work. Sociologically and ethically, the employee wants that the wage system should be equitable, just and fair. So when we are talking about having some laws enacted to minimum wage rate, so we are talking about equal pay for equal work. Now say in a industry, the work performed by me and work performed by some another employee is same, but the payment of wages which is being made to me and the other employee is he is being paid higher and I am being paid lower, though the employer is applying the minimum wage rate, applying according to the minimum wage rate, but then I will not be satisfied because the same work done by other is being paid higher. These factors should also be taken into consideration while devising a wage program. Economical factors. Economy also has its impact on wage and salary fixation. While it may be possible for some organizations to thrive in a recession, there is no doubt that economy affects remuneration decision. So whenever any organization or say a nation as a whole is in a recession period, definitely we do not expect any rise and revisions in the salary and wages. Indeed, many of the employers revise the wage structure or salaries on a negative side. There are deductions in the salaries. A depressed economy will probably increase the labor supply. This is in turn should lower the going wage rate. That means here there is a, you know, a downtrend in the wage rate when an economy is in depression, because there is large number of labor workforce available in any, in that particular nation. Technological development. With the rapid growth of industries, there is a shortage of skilled resources. The technological development have been affecting skills levels as faster rates. So when we are talking about the wage rate system, definitely the workers who are possessing or say advanced skills or who are skilled will be paid better, who are you know, ready to change, adopt the technological changes happening in the industry. So this technological development requires you know, the brushed up skills of any workers. So that population of workers who have those skills to adopt the technological changes will be paid higher. And if we do not have that type of you know, a workforce who will cope up with the technological development or changes happening in the industry, the wage paid will be lesser. Thus, the wage rate of skilled employees constantly change, and organization has to keep its level up to the mark to suit the market needs. Prevailing market rates. No enterprise can ignore prevailing or comparative wage rates that are prevailing in the particular industry. Now, say there are 5 steel manufacturing industry, 4 of them are paying high, and if the 5th company is paying low, then definitely the employees of that industry will be attracted towards those other 4 industry, and vice versa. It will not be possible to retain good workers for long if they are not able to, you know, compensate them according to their skills and capabilities. Ability to pay plays a major role. That means I am dreaming high about, you know, paying good wages to my workers, but then I am not able to pay them for whatsoever reason. The ability to pay of an enterprise will influence wage rates to be paid. If the concerns are running into losses, then it may not be able to pay higher wage rate. A profitable concern may pay more to attract good workers. During the period of prosperity, workers are paid higher wages because management wants to share the profit with labor. So it depends on the position of the enterprise. When enterprise is you know, at a prosperity, having high profitability, they will not mind sharing some of their profits in the form of higher wages and returns. But when the enterprise itself is running in losses, they will not be able to pay high wages. Job requirements. Basic wages depend largely on the difficulty level and physical and mental effort required in a particular job. So what kind of a job a worker is doing also decides what type of wage that person will be getting. Now, wherein, you know, the high level of skills are required, definitely the worker will get higher wages. The relative worth of a job can be estimated through a job evaluation. It is a HR concept of, you know, giving monetary value to the job description, that to perform certain kind of job, how much to be paid to an employer or worker. Simple routine tasks that can be done by many people with minimum skills receives relatively low pay. So say you do not possess any special, or the worker do not possess any specialized skill, okay, and is working on a task which can be performed merely by anyone without any, you know, formal training, or that can be performed by anyone. So for wages for such type of jobs are relatively low. But then for the task which requires special skills and training, the wage is high. On the other hand, complex challenging tasks that can be done by few people with high skill levels generally receives high pay. Management strategy. The overall strategy which a company pursues should determine the remuneration of its employee. Whether the strategy of the organization is to achieve rapid growth, remuneration should be higher than what competitors pay. So now say if any organization is looking at having a competent workforce, they need to pay high to retain and to attract a talent from the market. where the strategy is to maintain and protect current earnings, because of the declining fortunes of the company, remuneration level needs to be average or even below average. So here, you know, the company is just looking at the survival and stability of the organization. So there, what they pay is average or it may be below average. Several employee related factors interact to determine the remuneration. Performance or productivity is always rewarded with pay increase. Now say among 10 people working at the same process, few might be very productive, might be very efficient. So it would be unfair to pay all the 10 equally. So here there is no motivation for all those who are working efficiently. Somewhere this productivity and efficiency is linked with the higher revisions in salaries and wages. Seniority, union view seniority as the most objective criteria for pay increase. So as you spend long number of years in any industry or organization, it is expected that you need to pay them for their loyalty, for spending so much of time in the organization. Experience again makes an employee gain valuable insights and is generally rewarded. So more the experience, more salary and wages, because it will help to you know, take decisions whenever required due to the experience. Potential of organization do pay some employee based on their potential. Young managers are paid more because of their potential to perform even if they are short of experience. Now this says that though young people will not have experience, but they are more efficient and they are having fresh and creative ideas and they have great potential to improvise the processes and methods which are ongoing in an industry. So even this point can be considered to give higher salaries and wages. The wage structure in India, the employee benefit package normally contains, apart from basic wages, so that along with the basic wages we have dearness allowance. Now dearness allowance is paid to an employee to cope up with the inflation rate, you know, match up with the rise in price of goods and services. Overtime pay. Overtime payment is paid only when an employee or a worker is working for extra number of hours, whatever prescribed. Annual bonuses is being paid annually, definitely, and bonuses are paid out of you know, the profitability and the prosperity of the company. Some part is being distributed among the employees. Incentive system. Now incentive system somewhere is related to productivity and efficiency. Incentives are generally paid to the employees or workers who are really performing well. A host of fringe benefits. Now these fringe benefits are over and above of the salary and wages paid. They basically look into the medical benefits and security or insurance of the employee. Basic wage. The concept of basic wage is contained in the report of Fair Wage Committee. According to this committee, the floor of the basic pay is minimum wage, which provides not merely for the bare sustenance of life, but for the preservation of the efficiency of the worker by providing some measures of education, medical requirement and amenities, which we have already discussed while discussing the minimum wage rate. The basic wage has been the most stable and fixed as compared to dearness allowance and annual bonuses, which usually change with movement in the cost of living indices and the performance of the industry. So when we talk about dearness allowance, as I told you, this allowance is being paid to you know, cope up with the inflation rate. So when there is change in inflation rate, there is change in dearness allowance. So there is less stability over here. And at the same time, when we talk about say bonuses, bonuses are paid out of prosperity of the organization, profits arise in the organization, but that may vary in case the organization is not making good profits. So here there is instability, whereas when we talk about basic wages, there is comparatively, comparing this both, there is higher stability. In India, the system of dearness allowance is a special feature of the wage system for adjustment of the wages when there are frequent fluctuations in the cost of living, that is inflation rate, prices of goods and services. The Consumer Price Index is a monthly index published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The CPI is compiled by price data collected throughout the country for a fixed set of goods such as food, clothing, shelter, fuels, prescriptions, transportation fares and medical fees. So considering all these aspects, CPI considers and takes timely information and data, and they prepare a statistics whether it is showing uptrend or downtrend. So whenever it is showing downtrend, that is reduction in prices and services, the dearness allowance may vary. Whereas it is showing uptrend, that means increase in price and products and of services, then the dearness allowance may rise. The CPI is important as predictor of wage increase and of employees' need for greater income. Overtime payment. Working overtime in industry is possibly as old as the Industrial Revolution. That means when we have deadlines, when we have to match up production targets, at times we need some extra number of hours from the employees. But then whatever the extra number of hours given by the employees are being paid, and that is called as overtime payment. The necessity of the management seeking overtime working from employees becomes inevitable, mainly to overcome inappropriate allocation of manpower and improper scheduling, absenteeism, unforeseen situations created due to genuine difficulties like breakdown of machines. So here they have given some other reasons due to which overtime is inevitable. That means sometimes the scheduling is not done properly, due to which at the last moment we need more number of hours to complete the production targets. Then sometimes it may be a case that there is a failure in machinery. So the number of days that we have lost due to the maintenance and repair of the machinery, that needs to be coped up by giving some extra time. In many companies, overtime is necessary to meet urgent delivery dates, sudden upswings in production schedules, or to give management a degree of flexibility in matching labor capacity to production demands. The payment of overtime allowances to the factory and workshop employee is guaranteed by law. So that means there is a statutory compliance when it comes to payment of overtime wages as well. All employees who are deemed to be worker under the Factories Act or under the Minimum Wage Act are entitled to it at twice the ordinary rate of their wages for the work done in excess of 9 hours on any day or for more than 48 hours in a week. So if we calculate overtime over and above on a single day, so any number of hours above 9 hours are considered to be overtime, and the wage rate payable after this 9 hours would be almost twice of whatever the wages are being paid on daily basis. And if we calculate it on a weekly basis, say for example in a week what limit they have given is 48 hours. So over and above 48 hours, the number of hours which is being spent by the worker, so that will be equally paid twice the wage rate prevailing in an industry. Annual bonus. The bonus component of the industrial compensation system, though a quite old one, had assumed a statutory status only with the enactment of payment of Bonus Act 1965. Now when we talk about bonuses, these are somewhere distribution of extra profits that are being gained by the organization. So earlier it was voluntary in nature. So every industry used to pay bonuses, and they have different amount of bonuses to be paid. But that has come under the statutory act by the enactment of act called as Payment of Bonus Act 1965, wherein they have given provisions that how the bonus would be paid and how much. The act is applicable to factories and other establishments employing 20 or more employees. So once you have 20 or more employees, and if it is a factory or any establishment, hiring more than 20 employees has to follow the provisions of Bonus Act 1965. Incentives. Most financial incentives are attractive. Wages, bonus, dearness allowance, traveling allowance, housing allowance, gratuity, pension and provident fund contributions. Some of the non-financial incentives are designation, that is promotion, nature of the job, that is job enrichment, working conditions, status, privileges, job security, opportunity for advancement through learning and development, and participation in decision making. That means you are appointed as a representative of employee and then you can participate in the decision making process. However, a vast diversity exists in regard to policy and practice of incentive payment. Incentive system also have been classified into three groups: individual wage incentive plan, group incentive scheme and organization wide incentive scheme. When we talk about individual wage or incentive scheme, it is restricted to that particular individual or employee performance. When we talk about group incentive, it is a team effort. Team effort will be calculated, individual effort will not be calculated. And when we talk organization wide, ultimate objective of the organization will be calculated, individual or group efforts will not be calculated. The individual wage incentive plan is the extra compensation paid to an individual over a specified amount for his production effort. That means it is being paid directly relating to his productivity and efficiency. Individual incentive system are based upon certain norms established by work measurement techniques such as past performance, bargaining between union and the management, time study, standard data, predetermined elemental times and work sampling. So generally when a worker or an employee is working about the standards which are being set, that is being called as productivity, higher productivity. So more is the productivity, more are the incentives related to that particular individual or employee. When it comes to group incentive plans, the group or area incentive scheme provides for the payment of a bonus either equally or proportionately to individual within a group or area. So here ultimately the target which is being given is achieved by team efforts. So whether it can be distributed, say for example a team together has achieved that efficiency or productivity target over and about the standard set, but then equally every individual has not contributed to its productivity and efficiency. But though that member of the team or the group will be eligible to get some amount of incentive proportionately or according to say their decision of dividing that equally. The bonus is related to output achieved over an agreed standard or to the time saved on the job, the difference between allowed time and the actual time. The organization-wide incentive system, it involves cooperation among employees and the management and purports to accomplish broader organizational objectives such as the reduce labor, material and supply costs, to strengthen loyalty to the company, to promote harmonious labor management relations, and to decrease turnover and absenteeism. So these are the overall objectives which if the organization is able to achieve, everybody is going to gain out of it. Talking about fringe benefits, these are the extra benefits which are given over and above the remuneration to any employee. The remuneration that the employee receives for their contribution cannot be measured by mere estimation of wages and salaries paid to them. But then certain supplementary benefits and services known as fringe benefits are also available to them. Fringe benefits are categorized as statutory, contractual and voluntarily. Now when we talk about statutory, that are compulsion or say imposed on the employer to be payable. And contractual as per the contract or the terms and conditions of the contract. And voluntary is totally dependent on the employer whether he wants to give it or not. Statutory benefits include social security and medical care like PF and ESIC, unemployment compensation, workmen compensation, provident fund and gratuity. Fringe benefits, the benefits provided by the employer in pursuance of agreement with workers may include dearness allowance, house rent allowance, city compensatory allowance. Now talking about cities, some cities are expensive, the rent over there is high, so to cope up with all this, these type of allowances are being paid, medical allowances, night shift allowances, heat allowances, transport allowances, housing and educational allowances. Now, talking about voluntarily fringe benefits which are provided unilaterally by the company include group insurance, death benevolent fund, washing allowances, leave encashments, leave travel concessions, conveyance allowances, incentives for family planning, service awards and suggestion awards. So, these are completely voluntary in nature. There are no binding or contractually or statutorily. So, here we have a brief idea about how, you know, we consider various factors while determining the wage structure in any industry or in any country. And then what are the different levels of wages wherein we will be able to satisfy the employee, dissatisfy the employee, or we may create an excited workforce. And here, before determining any wage or implementing any statutory wage or structure in any country or nation, we need to understand the various factors which will affect the particular wage structure in the economy or a nation. Thank you very much.